Matthew chapter 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money, notice that, unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You may be seated. We want to talk this morning about the resurrection. And in that chapter is five proofs that the resurrection actually happened. If you notice this, when there is ever something done about religion, usually it's always against Jesus. There's a war against Christianity in the world today. Because Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, is alive and well and doing very well. Jesus doesn't tell you to blow up people and kill people and force people to accept him as Lord and Savior. He simply opens up his life and says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Jesus is more than a religion. To the other people, they have a religion. We have a person who's alive and has risen from the dead. That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're taking notes today, write this down. The resurrection of Christ establishes the truth of Christianity. You see, if that promise has come to pass, how many other promises did Jesus make that he will bring to pass? He said he would come again, and he will, just like he rose from the dead. So the resurrection of Christ establishes the truth of Christianity. Our faith is a living faith in a living Savior. People ask me all the time, Reverend DePlantis, why are you seem to be so happy all the time? Because I'm not a religious person. I'm a born-again person. I know Jesus Christ is Lord. I find religion is a theological wilderness, a garden of weeds. What it does, it chokes you and puts you in bondage and causes a lot of fear to happen in your life. But when you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when you understand him as Father and Son, or Father and Family, then you come boldly to the throne of grace with a petition and a supplication with thanksgiving, giving glory to God. And when Satan tries to do things against you, either through sickness, disease, poverty, whatever, you have the power of the resurrection to tell the devil to get under your feet by the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. Somebody shout somebody. Now that is the power of the resurrection. So let me say it again. Our faith is a living faith in a living Savior. What does that mean? The resurrection of Christ establishes the truth of Christianity. See, everything Christ-like is risen. Everything Christ-like has life in it. See? Doesn't have any death. Jesus couldn't go to funerals. He messed him up. Mess him up. You try to bury somebody around Jesus, just raise him from the dead. What caused that to happen? Life, and that more abundantly, to such a degree that it caused a chemical, powerful reaction in a dead body that sparked life, and spirit came back and came back into a dead body, and people stood to their feet. Not only was he raised from the dead that day, but the Bible said many that would been buried 100 years were raised from the dead. That means a century of decay couldn't stop somebody from coming out of a grave. That's the Jesus you serve. That's the Jesus that's alive. That's why the world today wants to make Jesus a man, make him have relationship with Mary Magdalene, make him die and never, maybe make him a historical Jesus, but not the Son of the living God. But ladies and gentlemen, he is alive. And to all you that believe that he isn't, he's coming back, and today he's your savior. But when he comes back, he will be your judge. You might want to join us on this side, because it's going to be a lot easier on this side. Oh, glory to God. So everything Christ-like is risen. Now, let me do a little preaching first. I get funny after a while. This is the resurrection here. Glory to God. What makes a Christian is not theology in the head, but faith in the heart. Let me say it again. What makes a Christian is not theology in the head, but faith in the heart. I've had many people all over the world, and I picked this up from a person that I heard say this. They said, "Brother Jesse, you seem to be such a faith man. You seem to can believe the impossible." I said, "That's true. Is there anything in life that you don't have faith enough for? Is there anything?" I said, "Oh, yes. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist."
All right.
Yeah. I just have not got there yet. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because it can't happen, because you see, in the beginning, God. Now, I understand evolution. You go from a lower form to a higher form. But you notice what? You go from another form to another form. Every time you start backing up, you go to a beginning. You ever notice that? You said, this is this higher form of life. But we now have this, we are this higher form of life. But where did we come from? Well, we go back to a lower form, but that's a beginning. So all of a sudden, you're back to God. Then you take that and go back to another beginning and go back to another beginning till you come to the primordial plasma, to the amoeba, to whatever. And guess what? You back at the beginning again. And you know what? In the beginning, God. Hallelujah. You can't. You still breathing his air, drinking his water, living on his land. It makes no difference. Evolution goes, if you want to take it backwards, it always goes back to a beginning. And the next word, God. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the power of the resurrection. That's why we serve an almighty God. It amazes me how anybody can operate in fear when God Almighty lives inside of you. Fear is a lack of spirit strength. Write that down. That'll help you. Fear is a lack of spirit strength. But your spirit is so powerful that you infect it with something that it should not be infected with. So next time you begin to fear, what you do is get your mind on the power of the resurrection. Because you see, what were the girls saying when they were going to the tomb? Who shall roll the stone away? Said they think, we can't roll this big stone. Maybe a stone has put you in a tomb somewhere. You understand? Maybe you can't seem to get out of poverty, get out of alcoholism, get out of sexual sin and things of perverted sin. But you know what? There's somebody that can roll that stone away. And today, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he'll live in your life if you allow him to do so. You see what I'm saying? So I'm free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm a free man. Why? Because God Almighty told my stone, took my stone and rolled it away. Hallelujah. In fact, I just took that stone and made it a part of my fence. Next time a stone is your problem, you got a problem, make it a pulpit and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from it. Ooh, Lord. So what makes a Christian is not theology in the head, but faith in the heart. You see, if good were not destined to conquer evil, write this down. See, because God is good. If good were not destined to conquer evil, God would cease to be. See, God made us more than a conqueror. Do you understand? Now, a conqueror is as good as it gets until you find someone that's more than a conqueror. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. I am a conqueror. But Kathy is more than a conqueror. Come on, ladies. I just set y'all free here today. You are more than a conqueror. Usually you tell everybody what's going on and what's happening in life. It's always mama and daddy. You're going to mama's house today. You ain't going to daddy's. Daddy ain't got a house. Daddy got a mortgage note and a garbage can. Think about that, brother. That's so true. If good were not destined to conquer evil, God would cease to be. Write this down. Let not life nor death Let life, not death, be our companion. We should live less in tombs. I find so many people want to crawl in the tomb. Life is my companion. I am going to die young at an old age. I told that to Kathy. I said, if Jesus tarries, maybe before I leave, I'll get you pregnant again. Look at y'all. Good God Almighty. Look at Kathy. I'm going to kill that man. But she didn't say that the other day. Glory to God. She said, get down with your bad self, Jesse. Look at her. She said, I'm going to kill him today. He will die on Easter Sunday. I figured that would wake you up a little bit. I think there were men like this. What did he say? Now we laugh at such things, but that's exactly what the father of our faith did. Yeah. At 100 years old, he decided to get his wife pregnant. Look at some of the men. Please, Jesus, please. Let life, not death, be our companion. We should live less in tombs. You'd be surprised that church has built most of their religion in tombs. In the past. But we don't live in the past because the past never sees the future. I create my economy and I create my destiny. I am the architect of my life. Do you understand that? So I said, who shall roll the stone away? Oh, see, I remember years ago when I first got born again, I had a wonderful preacher who loved me. But before I was born again, I used to drink a lot. I was a heavy drinker. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week, snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal meth. I had long chocolate brown hair. I mean, took trips and never left my house. Ooh, gone. Don't look at me weird. If you were my age, you did the same thing. And most of the people in Congress did the same thing too. Just want you to know that. So they told me after I got born again, man, don't even look at a beer sign. Don't even look at a whiskey sign, much as you enjoy. But you know what? They still had a tomb in front of, they still had a stone in front of their tomb. But my tomb was empty. I had come out the tomb of life. I was learning to live less in tombs. I said, no, my stone's been rolled away. My Jack Daniel Black Label was gone. That was on my tombstone. I'm talking tequila, you name it. I ate the worm at the bottom of the bottle. You understand what I'm saying? But when you drink the whole thing, you can eat the glass. It don't make no difference. You understand? I had a policeman pulled on the side of the road. I was standing out in Texas. I was watching a cow eat grass. It was New Year's Day. I don't know. I was three sheets to the wind. He said, can I help you? I said, have you ever seen a cow eat grass? I said, he swallowed it a bunch of times. He said, boy, are you driving? Where's your car? I said, the last time I saw it was on the end of this key. I tell you I could get funny if I wanted to. I was drunk. You know that policeman let me go, Kenny? He said, son, stay on the shoulder. Watch the cows eat grass. I finally got to that house. Kathy wanted to beat my brains out. Was you having fun? That's the only part of the day I remembered. You see, death was controlling me. I figured I couldn't go to a party without drinking. I figured I couldn't have fun without drinking. You can't go nowhere without doing something. You got to have something to get you high. See, I was living in a tomb, blocked by a stone. You see what I'm saying? But when I got Jesus in my life, the Most High, the Most High, I start living less in tombs. I start letting life be my companion instead of death. I notice even my taste in movies begin to change. I used to love horror movies. I used to take Kathy to 4 horror movies and in one night. Am I telling the truth? Kathy thought I was crazy. I found a drive-in where you could do 4 horror movies. You start at 7 and finish at 2. I mean, Kathy was like this by the time I got out of there. Why? Because I love fear. I loved horror. I even did some of them horror scopes. figure out what was going to happen tomorrow. I found out it was horror. But then when I got born again and I accepted the power of the resurrection, I created my own faith scope. I found fear was no longer a part of me. My spirit began to have received great strength. My mind was transformed, and my body was crucified. And Kathy was so excited that she wasn't going to horror movies anymore. My Lord. Why? I was living less in tombs. Life had become my companion. I was happy. I could be happy without drinking, even on a sad day. You see what I'm saying? That's this Jesus that blessed us. Now you see, don't misunderstand. You're in life, you're in the world, but you're not of it. So things are going to happen in life you may not understand. Write this down. Storms of doubt may assault spiritual truths in your life. Storms of doubt may assault spiritual truths. But just because a ship's rolling or shaking shouldn't make you jump into the sea. Just because the ship is reeling and a rocking don't mean you jump off and get into the sea. If you want to jump, walk on the water. You hear what I'm saying? Let me say it again. Storms of doubt may assault spiritual truths. But just because a ship rolls or shakes shouldn't make you jump into the sea. I've had a lot of things attack my faith. I've had my body attacked with sickness and disease. And you know, I used to receive a lot of it as I began to get stronger in the faith. Stronger in the faith, I began to crucify my body so that all of a sudden my body began to, not my immune system, my spirit permeating through my soul to my crucified body, began to produce something on my physical flesh that began to destroy germs and disease. Do you see that? Do you know how many people I lay hands on a week? Do you know how many environments I am a week? How many different cities I'm in? How many people coughing on me, spitting on me, you name it, hugging me? Do you know how many women may hug me in a night at a church? It could be as high as 1,000. I've had them, I mean, make up from here to here. But Kathy knew where I was. Trying to be nice. You see, do you realize how many people, I mean, you know, and say, wash your hands. Lord, gee, how many hands I've shaken in the night. I mean, Lord, and yet I've seen people just get sick as a dog and I've just stayed healthy. And I said, what is it, Lord? He says, the power of resurrection permeating out of your spirit through a transformed mind and permeating out of your skin. That doesn't mean I hadn't got sick. But it takes a lot. You got to spit and scream and hawk and hurl before. I mean, yet it doesn't get to the same level as most other people. I don't mean that to be arrogant, but what's happening is, what's going on here is, I made up my mind, bless God, that the power of the resurrection would permeate my every being of who I am. You see, that's what Jesus gave us. He said, is there any sick among you? He wasn't expecting anybody to say, yeah. Why? Because of the power of the resurrection. See, when he came out that grave, it was more than just a miracle of putting back life on. He gave you the same power today. In fact, he even said, raise the dead. And most people say, amen, but they ain't doing that stuff. Some people glad, some people died. Don't shout me down. You just thought of that person, didn't you? Boy, yeah, I tell you what. Mm-hmm. People say, Brother Jesse, you know, you always seem to be moving. You know, they call it itchy feet. You know why? I'm not at home. Write this down. You must never feel at home here. Your promised land awaits you. This is not my home. My home is on a gold streak, Dale. Glory to God. With a monster mansion without the media criticizing me. Glory to God. With God Almighty permeating light through his own inner being from the throne. And the whole place is lit up and it never gets dark. And no one ever is in sickness and disease. That's my home. That's my promised land. And he promised that he would be raised from the dead. See, even the angel told the girls just as he said. Which was kind of a little correction. He said, you kill me, I'll be back in 3 days. They came with anointed spices to finish the embalming process of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was nice, but what a waste of money. The angel said, he's not here, come. You want to see something here? Look, see where he lay. He's not, he is risen just as he said.
How many other things he said we don't believe? Come on, think about that for a minute. God said, you got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. But Lord, you ain't live with my kids. My kids are crazy. They're going nuts. What did the promise say? You told me what they say. Tell me what the promise says. You focus on the priority. You eliminate the confusion. You see what I'm saying? You told me everything else, but what the Lord said. See, that's the power of Christ, the hope of glory. So you must never feel at home here. Your promised land awaits you. Now, let me go over this again. The resurrection of Christ establishes the truth of Christianity. Why? Our faith is a living faith in a living Savior. Everything Christ-like is risen. What makes a Christian is not theology in the head, but faith in the heart. Look at your notes. If good were not destined to conquer evil, God would cease to be. Let life, not death, be our companion. We should live less in tombs. Glory to God. Storms of doubt may assault spiritual truths, but just because the ships are reeling and a rocking and a rolling shouldn't make you jump into the sea. And the reason why I'm not at home here, because this isn't my home. You must never feel at home here. Your promised land awaits you. So you know what, ladies and gentlemen, he promised he would raise from the dead. I won't make this announcement. Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming back to get Jesse. Now, if you want to come with me, you might want to get on this train, because we are going that way. It's the glory train to heaven. He's coming back to get you. And let me help you. He's going to make the biggest fool of the devil, because your mama may have died of cancer or your child may have died of leukemia. But the Lord is going to raise that same body that cancer destroyed. He's going to raise it and pull it out that grave. He's going to refix it. He's going to re-energize it. He's going to make it brand new and stick it to the devil and say, you try this now. Then the devil will go into a burning pit forever and ever and ever. It ain't over yet, ladies and gentlemen. Even the grave doesn't mean it's over. My grandfather died when I was 11 years old of lung cancer. Got saved 7 days before he died. They said lung cancer killed him. That's right. But God, I know where he's buried. God's going to blow that tomb open and resurrect that body. Bone connected to the thigh bone. I mean, it's going to be a clicking and a clocking, buddy. I want to let you know. And the devil going to say, I thought the cancer couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's why Jesus came out of the grave, to get your mama out the grave, to get your daddy, your uncle, your children, every one of them will stand before an almighty risen Savior. Now let me show you five proofs for you people that are so theological in your head to prove that the gospel and the resurrection is real. Let me go with you again. What did the angel say? He said, he's not here, for he is risen. Write this down. The resurrection is proclaimed by human witnesses. How do I know that? Verse 7. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So the resurrection is proclaimed by human witnesses. Verse 7. The resurrection, number 2, is proclaimed by angels. Verse 6. He is not here. I just read that to you. So the angels proclaim it and the witnesses proclaim it. Number 3, the resurrection was not, this is the best one. Go to verse 13. The resurrection was not denied by his enemies. Verse 13 saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Look, if your enemies are telling you that Jesus rose from the dead, or his enemies, you know Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because they were paying off people to shut their mouths not to say what happened. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why I know the resurrection without a shadow of a doubt took place, because all the enemies of Jesus said he rose from the dead. So number 1, human witnesses proclaimed his resurrection. That was verse 7. Number 2, angels proclaimed his resurrection. Number 3, his enemies did not deny his resurrection. Number 4, the resurrection shows us his divine sovereignty. He says, I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up. So he laid his life down. He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in Psalms 22, he said, will you leave my soul in hell? And God, Father God, Almighty Jehovah Elohim, pulled him out, and the grave busted open, and angels shouted, and every guy watching that fell on his face like dead. God knocked down a bunch, a whole army when he came out of that grave. Go read it. You don't pay off money if it's a myth. Large money. They paid, I read it to you, didn't I? Large money. Caiaphas knew Jesus came off the grave. But what they were afraid of, that it would destroy Judaism. No, it wouldn't destroy, and it still hasn't destroyed. And Jesus is still Jewish. Jesus loved the Jewish people. Why? Because he's Jewish. Jesus is not a threat to Judaism. Religion is, but not Christ, the anointed one. God, do you see that? He's still Jewish. So if you don't like the Jews, you better get your act together, because you're going to serve a Jew for the rest of your life. I love the Jewish people. Think about that for a minute. Ooh, glory to God. So the resurrection was not denied by his enemies. The resurrection showed his power and divine sovereignty. Number five, the resurrection established his divinity and the infallibility of his teachings. Verse 10. Now he starts teaching after he rose from the dead. So that's five different things that proof positive that the resurrection took place. Let me say it again. Number five, the resurrection established his divinity and the infallibility of his teachings. Let me go over it again. Number one, this is five proofs that the resurrection took place. Number one, the resurrection is proclaimed by human witnesses, the two Marys, glory to God, and then the disciples later on. And over 500 witnesses saw him go up. That's another thing. Number two, the resurrection proclaimed by angels. His birth was proclaimed and his resurrection was proclaimed. That's verse 6 of Matthew 28. Number three, the resurrection was not denied by his enemies. Verse 13, they paid off large sums of money to tell everybody someone stole the body. You don't do that unless it happened. That's number three. Number four, the resurrection shows us his divine sovereignty. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it up. I mean, he rolls the stone away. Number five, the resurrection establishes his divinity and the infallibility of his teachings. Verse 10. See, what the world is trying to do with ossuaries, which is a little bitty box that they said it had some bones in it, but they really know for sure if that was bones or not. So they're going to scrap the side to get some DNA. Lord Jesus, trying to make Jesus, we believe in a historical, but because see, they got to shut him down on the Son of God. They got to shut him down. See, they got to try to stop the resurrection, because that shows that he's the power and the Son of the living God. You see that? And Satan is using every theological point of view and every kind of scientific something to try to get you to believe that he was just human, that he had a baby with Mary Magdalene. My Lord, my Lord. You notice they don't say nothing about Muhammad. And I'm not trying to be critical of Islam, but Muhammad had a wife that was 9 years old. All right. You go think about that for a while.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, let me just ask you. If you have a 9-year-old, would you let a man marry your daughter? No. I'm just being honest here. Let's just be honest. Do you hear anything against Buddha? No. Muhammad. How about Hari Krishna? Harry, whatever, you know. Or how about all these other gods of India? You hear anything about that?
No.
They got a palace in India that rats, thousands and thousands of rats live in. It's called a rat palace. How many seen it on Discovery Channel? Hear anything about that? No. Come on, let the elevator go to the top. What is a threat to the devil?
Jesus.
Alive Jesus. A God Jesus. Think about that, ladies. Just let two and two come up four. Okay, one and one, two. Why is there such trying to disprove Jesus? Because even when he walked the face of the earth, they paid large sums of money to shut people's mouth. That tells you something. Why didn't they accept Jesus? Well, maybe they did, and it never was recorded. I don't know that. We'll find that out when we get to heaven. But I'll tell you this much. If I was against a guy and I had him killed and then, and he come out that grave, you know what I'm talking about right there. I get a revelation real quick. We're going to find out who killed JFK. 100%. Because that person will stand before God and be judged for it. Or persons. We're going to find out for sure who shot Martin Luther King. Now they say some, you know, there's still some kind of about that. We're going to find out really what happened. Who was the conspirator of Abraham Lincoln's assassination? We are going to find out, ladies and gentlemen. All the books are going to be open. All your secrets in going to be out here. Look at y'all. Let's pray. Well, you know what? You can get them washed away today. Because that blood came down that cross, buddy. For your healing of your body and for the washing of your sins away. Not to be covered, but washed away. That's fact. We're going to know everything about you. Your thoughts. You will be judged accordingly. But I don't tell all you Christians, you listen to me. You know what they're going to find out about you? God's going to take you up to the judgment seat of Christ. You know what that means? The bema, the platform. I'm on a platform. He's going to parade us on the platform. And he's going to say, look, the redeemed of the Lord hath said so. And we will be passed out reward after reward after reward. Every one of you that knows Jesus Christ and Lord that believes in the power of the resurrection. Oh, but that other side, that great white throne judgment. We're going to find out. Five infallible proofs that the resurrection actually happened. And I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen. If this was not true, I would not do this. I have other talents. I don't need to do this. You see what I'm saying? But I'm compelled by the calling of God on my life. Why do you work so hard? John Copeland, the other day, I did 2 weeks of program. I preached from about 8:30 to 4:45 with a 20-minute break in between. Constant. Just preaching. I mean, I knocked out 2 weeks of program that will be played in July on the Kenneth Copeland broadcast. He said, Jesse, you're the hardest working man I've ever seen in my life. He said, if we take a 30-minute break, you'll fly somewhere and preach and come back. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the truth, I could figure it out. Yeah, I guess I could. I've done that before. I've been in Atlanta at 10 o'clock in the morning and Fort Worth at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. How do you do that, Jet? Preach the gospel. Probably in them two sessions. Shoo, Lord. How many, 25,000, 30,000 people between two cities? Bam, bam. Why do you do that? I'm compelled to do so. Amen. Amen. Why do you give them altar calls? I'm compelled to do. I love seeing people's lives changed. Amen. Yeah. It's the resurrection. It's real to me. I just told the Lord, when you come, I want to be by a graveyard. I got to see this. I also, you know, I have prepared myself. I have done everything because the Bible said a good man make an inheritance for his children and children. So I've made an inheritance for Eddie, my son-in-law, and for Jody, my daughter. That's my family. All right, my immediate family. Why is this? I've also taken care. I got a place where I can, if Jesus tarries, I can be buried. I also could be buried on this property. If I want to, I can. It's even actually in the code that I can be buried on this property. Me. But I don't want a big old hole out there because I ain't going to stay in there long if it happens. I want this place kept pretty. Glory to God. So I've got a tomb or whatever you call it. Whatever you call that thing. I got enough to bury everybody. Lord Jesus. Man, he ain't burying me like a pharaoh. Just bring the stuff in. Won't need that. Lord, gee, do you understand? I have made, you know, because Abraham bought a tomb. So I said, well, if Abraham bought one, he's my father of the faith. I ought to just got to do that myself. So I prepared that, all that kind of stuff. Kathy's prepared. In other words, you don't have to worry about nothing. It's all prepared. Thank God. But we're not planning on using it. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to just tell the Lord, if you're looking for a hole to throw the devil in, I got one. Throw him in there. We can put 12 more demons in there too. Go ahead, put them in there. Lock them down, glory to God. See the power of the resurrection. That's what makes me do what I do. You know, I realized not long ago, people said, why do you like religious art so much? That's the power of the resurrection. I can see things and I go, oh, yeah, I can preach on a painting. I can see something. Man, and what it is, it's life and that more abundant. See, life is my companion. And even at funerals, I can make you happy. Even in intensive care units, when people are dying, doctors say, Reverend, help us. What can we say? Oh, I can say something. Especially someone that's born again. I can bring comfort where there is no comfort. Yeah, I can. How do you do that? Because of your gift of gab? No, you don't gab at a funeral. Ain't no gab at all at a funeral. This is serious business. But you know what? I preach to the living. I bring life even to a funeral. And I tell people, if you like this person and you want to see them again, you got to observe the rules of the contest. See, I am going to see my grandfather. My mother died 25 years ago this morning on Easter Sunday morning. I remember when I got that phone call. Remember that? Come now. I knew it. People say, well, Easter ought to be sad for you. No, Mom always liked to party. I don't doubt Mama said, I'm going to hang out till Easter Sunday because I know they're rejoicing up in heaven. Mama just walked in and said, where my basket? I told that to Kathy yesterday. I said, my mama always made me an Easter basket. Even when I was a man, made me an Easter bag tanner. My wife ain't never made me an Easter basket. I said, she could have got me a gold brick egg, something. I don't know what's just something. She said, I'll buy you dinner today. I said, okay. Mama always brought me, I had my basket. My best eggs were the boiled eggs. Used to have all them colors. Now this is called poor people. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't have too many chocolate eggs, but Mama was going to get some of that coloring. You know, stuff that's, we used to drink it, man. We just liked it. And sometimes she put a little pretty picture on that egg. I don't know how she did that. A little stamp or something. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that. Man, I'd have two eggs in my mouth at one time. And she bought me a chocolate rabbit. Little one. I always got to eat the ears first. I said, Mama, eat the ears first. She said, well, maybe you'll listen if you eat the ears. Just listen. Just listen. Yeah. See, that's what I remember. Instead of being sad. Oh, no. I remember. Boy, and I thought, man, Mama did enjoy that kind of stuff. Well, I'm going to see her. And I'm going to see her like Daddy saw her. 15 years old. Young. Not whitehead like me. She got me back. Her hair was white like that. Young. I'm going to actually see Mama the way Daddy first saw her. And it shocked him. It's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a wonderful day. That's what the resurrection affords us. We're going to see those that have gone on before. What a blessing that's going to be. That's going to be great. All my uncles are there. All my aunts are there. Mm-hmm. And if Jesus comes back on Easter today or next Easter, I don't doubt Mama balling eggs. And I guess if I get there, she's going to have my Easter basket for me. I want you to know. Praise God. Have my little Easter basket. Glory to She just had to give me an Easter. I was just in her, boy. Get that Easter basket. That Easter basket. I like that. Yeah. It was a blessing. So how would you like to go with us? How would you like to live life and that more abundantly in today's world that is so messed up with hatred killing? I said that the other day about politics. I'm not a political person. You can be a Democrat, a Republican, or independent. It's fine. But what I don't like the hatred that's being spewed by both parties. Amen. You don't have to like George Bush. But you, why would you hate someone? There's such hatred. You may not like, and let's go on to the other side. You may not like Hillary Clinton, but you don't have a right to hate that woman. And to spew hate, you have a right to say your opinion, but not in a hateful way. Even when you're standing for right. Christian, listen to me. If you're standing for something that's right, stand for it rightly, not with hatred in your mouth. Amen. See, God never allowed any human being to judge anyone, because he knew hate would spring up. God will judge people in love. So would you stand to your feet right now? I know people are going to have dinner, including myself. I want to ask you, this is your day. This is your day to understand what I've been talking about. This is your day to say, you know, Lord, it's my time to get right. It's my time to do right. It's my time to be right. That's what I'm talking about. If I could change all of you, I would, but I can't. I have some great friends of mine. They say, are you going to try to convert us? Jesse said, no, I can't. I wish I could, but I can't. The only one that can convert you is yourself. God cannot save you without your permission. That's how much freedom he gave you. You have to believe with your heart. Watch this. Confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. Why did the Lord allow us or cause us to say that? The power of the resurrection. Whew. Oh, Brother Jesse, I've done so bad. What about that thief on the cross? You know what he said? Remember me. See, he felt so unworthy to ask him to help him. Maybe that's you today. You've done so much wrong. Oh, but Jesus has done so much right. And that thief looked at him and said, listen. He could have said, would you forgive me? Help me. No, he didn't say that. He just said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. To him, that the most he could get for eternity was a thought. Isn't that something, Steve? That's as far as he could believe. He couldn't believe any further. I preached a sermon years ago, what the thief on the cross saw. He couldn't go no higher. This is it. This is as far as he could go. He said, well, maybe somebody good will remember me because I've been so bad. What he was saying was, I deserve to be on this cross. Jesus made a friend right before he went to heaven. And Jesus did something better than say, I remember you. And write it in the oracle of heaven. There was a guy on the side of me that died, and I said I would remember him, so I will. But he said, no, I will change him. See, that's the kind of judge we got. He said, this day, you will be with me in paradise. See, not only will I remember you, you will be with me for eternity. So with your head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God instead of just knowing about him, that's called getting saved for the first time. I used to know a lot about God growing up, but I did not know God. I went to church a lot, but I did not know God. I just knew about him. I'd like to introduce you to God. It's called getting saved. I used to stop there. That's how I was trained as a doctor of divinity till the Lord arrested my mind and said, Jesse, always go further. Maybe you're struggling with your Christianity. These temptations are getting the best of you. No, no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means. But the power of the resurrection isn't working properly in your life. You keep falling and you want to quit that. And you want to be stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. People call it rededication. Something better than that is called selling out. So if you like to know God instead of just knowing about him, it's called getting saved. Or for the first time, or be honest with yourself, you're struggling with your Christianity and you need to come back to God.
to draw closer so you won't have to struggle with those things. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see it and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I see those hands all over this building. I see your hand. Could I see others quickly? Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I do, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Could I see one more? Don't miss my Jesus. Way in the back, here in the front. I see your hand. You may put your hand down. I want everyone to look at me. Thank you. I see your hand. You that are watching all over the world, faith destroys all distance between God and man. What a day to come to know the knowledge of God on an Easter day. I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with us and believe with us. Now, you people here that are in this main sanctuary, that took some integrity. You lifted your hand. That wasn't easy. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than that. Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, because you see, that took character and integrity. I'm going to ask you to get your Bible or your purse or whatever you brought with you. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand here. In front of everybody? Yeah. Yeah. Why? Jesus hung on a cross in the front of everybody. He did that for you. He came out that grave for you. The least you can do is stand up and make a public profession of Him. If you lifted your hand, get out of your seat and come forward. Give them a hand clap as they come quickly. Come His way. Ladies and gentlemen, as people are coming from all over the sanctuary today, you that are watching by television, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer today. I'm going to ask you to repeat it after, as these wonderful people will. When we finish this prayer, you'll be in God's kingdom, a knowing God instead of just knowing about Him, or a selling out, so you won't struggle as much in life. God knows you're human. We've all made mistakes. But we got a great God with great grace that will help us in every area of our lives. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm going to ask everyone in this building to repeat it. Let's pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this day, this Easter day, I give my life, all of it, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there for just a minute. Give him a hand clap. You made it. Wasn't that easy? That wasn't hard, was it? That's pretty simple, wasn't it?